Now, live from Studio 550, this is The McGraw Show on KTRS.
Hey, Katie Cruz is with us. She's here for another day today and tomorrow. We thank her for sitting in. David Stokes is also with us. He's here every Monday. He's a Show Me Institute policy analyst. David Stokes, good morning this morning.
Morning, McGraw. Great to be with you.
All right. So let's you talked last week in Hannibal. You were on your way to Hannibal. Did you stop off at Sam Clemens' house?
I did not. I didn't get a time to. I took a long time to testify. It was a well-attended meeting, so I didn't get time to run.
Did you at least see the house? Did you see the white picket fence?
I did not. I mostly just saw Interstate 61. Not Interstate, Highway 61.
Next time. All right. So you were up there testifying about toll roads.
Right. There's a Blue Ribbon Transportation Commission going around the state right now, taking testimony on transportation needs in Missouri, and they're doing it's great. They've had about seven or eight of these meetings, and I think there's one more to go, and they're trying to put together a plan for the legislature to consider of how we want to invest in transportation in Missouri.
And you're testifying about you personally are in favor of toll roads.
Right. That was my purpose to go up there, was to share some Show Me Institute research on the subject of public-private partnerships and toll roads and to talk in favor of that briefly.
All right. So how much would it cost if you were all knowing and all seeing and we took your plan, how much would it cost to ride on, say, Highway 70?
Well, it would cost taxpayers nothing to redo I-70 by a vast public-private partnership, which is what MoDOT proposed last year, which is that a private company would fund the reconstruction of the highway, and then it would be paid for by tolls. So taxpayers wouldn't pay anything.
How much would the toll be?
That's going to depend on the size and scope of the project. If you make it two lanes or three lanes or four lanes, that's going to affect the toll. You'd probably think in the realm of, for a car, probably $30 or $40, probably to go back and forth.
So would it be like
the whole state?
So if you want to go from St. Louis to Kansas City, it'd be $30.
You know, these are approximations.
Yeah.
It would be significantly less to go from St. Louis to Columbia.
So it wouldn't be like a dollar, and then you could ride it for as long as you wanted to. It'd be like.
No, it's gonna cost a little money to redo it. Yeah, I mean, you're probably talking $30, $40, maybe more for trucks.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad you fleshed this out because I know there was a lot of controversy in where the toll, and now, this is multiple tolls that would stretch between here and maybe Kansas City. Is that correct?
Well, no, there'd be multiple toll stations, although
right.
There'd be no stopping at the stations.
Okay.
It would be entirely electronic.
So we'd have to get a speed pass or something like that. Is that how that would operate?
You'd get a speed pass, and if you didn't get that, there'd be license plate-based billing. If you take hopefully they would take the latest technology so that you could simply scoot past and pay for it on your phone with your credit card. Preferably a passenger, not the driver.
Right, yeah. Because there's sometimes, like in New York, you pay $5 to go over the George Washington Bridge. But like Kansas, you pay depending on what exit you get on and get off. So you would prefer the Kansas method as opposed to the going over the George Washington Bridge one fee for the however long you're on it for.
Right, and for the purpose of the plan, I think the Kansas method is the necessity.
Right.
I mean, you're going to start it outside St. Louis and end it outside Kansas City if this passes.
Right.
So yeah, I think their plan is for five or six toll stations, all electronic, no stopping.
And David, where would the first one land? Like the rub I had with this when I had heard about the rollout was it was going to be situated somewhere very close in proximity to Wentzville, which I thought was really odd because so many people are transient between, say, Wright City, Warrenton, or Wentzville, and that seemed like a pretty big pop that people would take on some sort of a regular basis.
Well, and that's why the people, city officials from Warrenton, were at the hearing last week in force, and they were staunchly opposed to this. One of them even said, that Warrenton would be a ghost town if the toll
right.
was established there, which is crazy. There's tolls
okay.
all over America outside of big cities and small suburbs, and none of them are ghost towns just because you put a toll in. I mean, their concerns were overblown. One of the reasons for starting it there is because that's where they're going to reconstruct the highway. They're not planning on reconstructing the highway in St.
Right.
Louis City or in Kansas City. And they're not allowed to just do this. It has to be done in conjunction
right there
with
at
a
that
major
61
effort.
That 6170 interchange, that area right there is like is you're going toward Hannibal, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, roughly okay. probably nothing set in stone, but I think the plan would call to start slightly west of where 64 and 70 meet.
Who would then pay for, say, Highway 47 or Highway 100 or highway all the other highways that that don't have toll roads? Because the way I ride, look at the roads, every road needs a massive overhaul. I mean, right? I mean, everything's under siege.
Well, your gas taxes would still be used to pay for those other roads.
Right. Are you in favor of raising at least the gas tax somewhat?
If necessary, yeah. I'm not opposed to a small gas tax increase. I think if you did the major highways via tolling, that would free up an enormous amount of money, gas tax money, to focus on your other secondary roads throughout the system. I don't think it'd be necessary.
Would you be in favor of charging diesel trucks more on your toll?
You know, if we can't do tolling, I think something like that might be important. That is common elsewhere. But I'd like to see tolling done and perhaps trucks being required to pay a little more than cars, because trucks, I've got nothing against the trucking industry, but trucks do more damage to highways than cars do.
Right. Let's say it's $40 every time a truck goes from Kansas City to St. Louis. That's $40 more you're adding on to the car, which means it's going to be $40 more for the can of beans on the shelf when it's all said and done.
You know, I did some back-of-the-envelope math a couple of years ago, and when you realize that the average truck is carrying tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of goods in the back of that bed, I mean, when you divide that $40 over all those goods that it's carrying, I mean, you're talking pennies in increase in prices. And frankly, if you don't do it via the tolling, they're going to increase the cost via an increase in the diesel tax on
right.
trucks. You have to pay for it some way.
Right.
And if you can rebuild the highway, and sure, they might be paying more in tolls or more in gas taxes, but if a safer, faster highway allows them to get between points A and B quicker and more efficiently and more safely, so there's fewer accidents, I mean, that's going to counteract those increases in price.
To Katie's point, though, why not start the toll right at the Poplar Street Bridge?
Well, the exact reason, I believe, is that since MoDOT isn't planning on reconstructing those portions of the highway, they're not allowed to. They're doing this plan under a waiver from the Federal Highway Administration, which you're not allowed to just take a highway built with tax dollars and just turn it into a toll.
Right.
So they have a special authority from the federal government to do this in this particular spot, as long as they do it as part of a major reconstruction of the highway.
Gotcha.
Since they're not reconstructing the parts in the cities, they couldn't even if they wanted to.
I don't know about you guys, but that Poplar Street interchange could be the worst interchange ever.
Absolutely
invented.
Absolutely terrible.
Why don't they redo that one?
Yeah, really? Can we just start over with that?
I don't want to sound like I'm opposed to tolling those bridges. I'm actually absolutely
in support
of it. I was
going to say, if you could get it done, you'd do it, right?
Oh, absolutely. And the way to tolling is the best way to address congestion. I mean, you vary the pricing on the toll so that in rush hour, it costs more to go over a bridge, a heavily traveled bridge, than otherwise, so that only the people who really need it at that time pay for it. And people who aren't in such a hurry or can take an alternate route, they say, oh, that's too expensive, I will.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with you, but I've sat on the Brooklyn side of bridges and the Queens side of bridges and don't necessarily agree with that.
Well, they don't generally vary the pricing
right.
in the New York area. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It's always going up. Let's put it that way. It's never going
yeah.
down. You know, speaking
what
of that,
is it now? Do you recall?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
But when I was in high school, when I was in college, they gave us money to drive to the ball. It's like summer baseball, and you drive, and they would give you money for the tolls. And I always drove in the Country Squire because you would go up to the cash only, right? And you'd throw in the change, and you'd drive up, and you'd fake throw in the change, right?
Just see if you could get by with it,
right? And so the gate wouldn't go up. And you'd all of a sudden be like, "What? Come on, man, what's going on?" And you'd sell it, and the guy in the next booth over would be like, "Oh, yes, it didn't go through." And you'd hit the button, and the gate would
nice.
Go up, and you would scam the toll.
Nice.
Well, under an electronic system, that would probably be a little trickier now.
Those days are long gone. All right, let me get to this debate. We're short on time here, but this debate over public employee salaries being posted online. I would think you'd be all in favor of this.
Oh, I am.
Okay.
It was a Post-Dispatch had an interesting article with generated a lot of interesting comments a week or so ago. And they do these stories where they just take all the government employees, university employees, and just post it online.
Right.
I enjoyed some of the comments, people raising the questions of why all of a sudden, just because I work for the state, can anybody find out what I make just by entering my name in a database here?
Right.
And they raise good points of privacy concerns, but I still support disclosure of those salaries. If it's public information, then it's public information.
If it's done with tax dollars.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Also, those people don't realize that Major League Baseball wants all of those salaries disclosed. All the players' union wants all of the salaries disclosed. So everybody knows what everybody's making. So if that guy had a good year and he's only making, you know, $2 million, and this guy had a super good year and he's making, you know, $500,000, wait a minute, that guy's making more than me. So it's a way to raise salaries if everybody knows what everybody's making.
Right, and in the private sector, I think non-disclosure of what you make benefits the bosses.
That's right.
The company.
Sure it does.
Right.
So if you're just an employee in the private sector, you probably maybe want to be talking about your salary with your coworkers. So
right.
You can find out, wait, why did I get the hammer that nobody else did around here?
I once told somebody what I was making, and I called in the bosses. They're like, don't tell anybody what you're making. I was like, well, why not? You just don't do that. That's just not good business. And I'm like, that's not good business for you.
Right.
And then I told him I wasn't making any money because I got fired from that job. David Stokes from the Show Me Institute. What is your website and email address?
ShowMeInstitute.org. Our blog is ShowMeDaily.org. You can follow us on Facebook or you can follow me on Twitter at David C. Stokes.
All right. Show Me Institute policy analyst David Stokes. Have a good week. We'll talk to you next
Thanks,
Monday.
McGraw. Thanks, Katie.
Thanks.
850, Big 550, KTRS.